the Lord has been dealing with my heart about this particular message probably a month or more. But the Lord impressed my heart that it's time to preach this message, and so we'll take one or two services, what the Lord wants out of it, and I'm interested in at least getting started this morning. In Hebrews 10, at verse number 25, and then keep your place there in Luke chapter number 15. I want to start with verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." What a verse of Scripture. But notice that it does not end with a period, so the thought continues into the next verse. So I will read verse 24 again and just read right in as the thought continues into verse 25. "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now, that'll be our text verse. We have the message out of this verse. But I'm interested in Luke chapter 15 as a classic illustration. A classic illustration and demonstration of the high cost of getting out of the Father's house. And you know the story. In fact, we preached out of this passage last Sunday morning on a prodigal nation or a search for false freedom. But the Lord impressed my heart to use this young man in Luke 15, as we know to be the prodigal. And we use him as one that would represent an individual believer that would leave the Father's house. And we do refer to church many times as the Father's house. Amen. The Father's house. And we see in Luke 15 the one that made the decision to leave the Father's house. And where did he go? Where did he wind up? He wound up in a far country. And let's read a few verses here in verse number 11 of Luke 15. "And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a famine, a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want." I think it's interesting that they noted that famine was in that land. Not at the Father's house, but in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Notice what he goes on to say, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I believe that if you were to take this testimony of this younger son, when he came home, if you were to boil it all down and summarize it, what would he be saying to the father? I wished I'd have never left the father's house. I wished I'd have never left the Father's house, or I wished I'd have been faithful to the Father's house. That's what would I be used for our title, a faith being faithful or faithful to the Father's house. Keep your places there, and as I said, I will not get done, I'm sure, but we will endeavor to begin at least. The question is asked in Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse number 11. When Nehemiah was the one in charge of leading the process of rebuilding the walls and rebuilding Jerusalem. Here's what he asked in verse 11 of Nehemiah 13. Then contended I with the rulers and said, listen to the question, why is the house of God forsaken? Nehemiah said in chapter 13, why is the house of God forsaken? Nehemiah, being the great leader that he was, he could not understand why the house of God was forsaken. That's why he asked the question, why is the house of God forsaken? And then we find, of course, you could go to Haggai, which is a writing of the same situation, and he goes into chapter 1 and he says, consider your ways. And in light of that topic of consider your ways, he's talking about how that the house of God lieth waste while they lived in their sealed houses. In other words, you have focused on your life and your house, and you've let the house of God go. Well, if you're not careful, it's easy in this hour for any of us to let the house of God go. To focus on our life and our doings and our choices and our obligations more so than that of the Lord's house. As we said earlier, Hebrews 10:25 will be the text. But Luke 15 would be the illustration. The son who became unfaithful and eventually left the father's house shows us the importance and the imperativeness of the father's house to the children of God. If you want to see just how important, and listen, this is not a new message or a new thought for me. I've been preaching on this for 28 years. And before anybody is quick to maybe false or misunderstand, I want you to know that I don't have any selfish motives at all. But I do stand before you this morning as an example of one that even left my own parents' home in rebellion about going to the house of God. And you've heard me give that testimony before.
And if the devil would have had his way with that decision that I made out of rebellion, if the devil would have had his way with that, I wouldn't be standing in front of you this morning, saved and called of God to preach. No doubt the devil intended for the far country to be my ruin. He intended for the far country to be my grave. He intended for me to never go back home or to go to the house of God. But as you know, hearing that testimony, the Lord worked marvelously. The Lord worked sovereignly in my behalf. And you know the story of how that my mom, even at the age of 20, she found out where I was staying. And she went and got all my clothes. She got all my belongings and took them back to the house. And then called me at work and told me to come home when I got off work. She said, I did not bring you into this world through my womb for you to die and go to hell. I'm fighting for you. Amen. With you. She knew I probably wouldn't like what she did, but she didn't ask me would it be all right. She just went and done it anyway. Amen. She didn't ask me if she could have me to begin with. She felt responsible for my direction. She felt responsible for my destiny. Not that I left home because of her. No, but she felt like, listen, as Napoleon Bonaparte said, amen, he wasn't even a preacher, but he said the future destiny of a child is the work of a mother. Thank God, Mom got in my life and got in my way and did what she thought I wouldn't like. But ended up just in a few days after that, resulted in me getting saved by the grace of God. So don't ever give up. Don't ever give up when things look hopeless and the far country looks to be a prison for your children or for the youth of our day. Don't give up. Don't give up. Amen. Put things in their mind. Amen. Put things in their mind. Teach them. Expose them to truth. So that even if they are in a far country, just as illustrated with Luke 15, I tell you what will happen. It'll haunt them every day of their life. When they pillow their head, it will cloud their mind about the thoughts of being back at the Father's house. I've talked to people that's been out of church, that was in church and got out of church. I've talked to people that said that every day they were out of church, those days when they were in church, haunted them. But there is a parallel between the Father's house in Luke 15 and the church, the Father's house. There's a parallel. There's a line that runs side by side. And as you look at that, I would have to say this morning that there is a contrast, and that there is a contrast between the far country and the Father's house. The Father's house opposes the far country. The Father's house opposes the far country in its preaching. I wouldn't have a preacher that didn't expose the far country and its dangers and its pitfalls and its destruction. I wouldn't have a pastor that wouldn't expose the wickedness and the ungodliness and who it is that's really behind the far country thoughts. The Father's house is against the far country in its preaching. We're against it. I'll never condone it. I'll never agree with it. I'll be against it from day one. Till the last breath leaves my body. Amen. I'm against it because I know what the truth is for the far country. But here's the thing that I want you to notice. The Father's house got out of him before he ever got out of the Father's house. The far country got into him before he ever got into the far country. He got distant in the house before he ever got distant from the house. He was in a far country in his heart before he ever left the front porch. Amen. I believe that that is a word that many of us need to instill in our heart here this morning. And that is when we start seeing church get took out of us, that that's an effort of the enemy to get us out of church. Amen. And I believe this with all of my heart, that there's nothing any more crucial and critical to your life than that of the house of God. Amen. Let me just say this as well about that young man in Luke 15. Notice that the delight goes before the departure. No doubt about it, friend, the boy in Luke 15 would represent a church member at the Father's house. If you're not careful, you'll start losing your delight. Your delight to go to church. Instead of it being a joy, it becomes a job. And instead of it being an opportunity, it'll become an obligation. And if you're not careful, that delight will leave out of your heart just before the departure. I wrote down several things. I wrote down also that dissatisfaction, the delight issue produces departure. But listen to these. Dissatisfaction is what produced the desires. You know why he had a desire for the far country? He was dissatisfied, though he was sitting at the Father's house, at the Father's table, had the Father's presence, had the Father's provisions, had the Father's plenty. Amen, but in spite of it all, my friend, he, for some reason, got dissatisfied and discontented in his heart. And guess what it led to? It led to him having desires that were wrong. So dissatisfaction produces desires. Secondly, desires produces direction. What direction are you going in? Just tell me what your desires are. Look at what your desires are. Your desires are inseparable with your direction. Amen. And then not only desire produces direction, but departure produces distance. You don't just leave and go just outside the gate or just out in the front yard. When you leave, brother, the intended destiny of leaving the Father's house is a far country. A far country. So departure produces distance. Distance produces defilement. You cannot get into the far country without the far country ways getting in you. You can't get around those far country friends and the far country environment and the far country establishment, amen, and the far country pleasures without you becoming involved as it was with him. He wasted his substance with riotous living. Distance produces defilement, and then defilement produces damage. Amen. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Amen. I'll tell you the direction and the ultimate end of a journey. Away from the Father's house, the type of the church, to the far country, type of the world. The destiny is the bottom. Ultimately winding up in the hog pen. Show me one individual that got out of the house of God and they were blessed by it. I've been preaching 28 years. I've met hundreds, if not thousands, of people, my friend, and I can't come up with one name. I can't come up with one instance of a male or female of any age that got out of the house of God, that they didn't wind up, my friend, in a far country with misery and scars. Amen? But I'm increasingly... Let me just say this. I wrote this down too. I thought about this. While this young man was at the Father's house, now I want you to listen. While this young man was at the Father's house became smaller and smaller. And the far country became bigger and bigger. You better watch it, friend. I can't tell by looking at you, my friend, where you are at in relation to the Father's house. I can't look at you. Your heart may be 100, you may be here this morning, amen, dressed up to go to church, but your heart may be 100 miles from God. I just about would say that there may be some in the building today, my friend, that are here not because you want to be, not because your desire put you here, but because pretty much you just knew it was just the right thing to do. The Father's house became smaller and smaller while the far country became bigger than bigger. But I want you to just advance quickly into the far country and see what happened. When he got into the far country, you know what happened, Brother Carroll? That big far country started getting smaller and smaller. And the Father's house got bigger and bigger. Sad, isn't it? There's people in church that thinks life is out there. But then there's some out there that knows life is here at the house of God. I thought about the parallel between Luke 15's the Father's house and church, the Father's house. I just jotted this down, in fact, right before I came up here. Amen. I wrote it down that at the Father's house is where the camaraderie is at. See, at the Father's house is where the family's at. People that are comrades, they share a camaraderie. You know what? They've got things in common. Well, when you're at the Father's house, you've got several things in common. You've got the Father in common. Amen? Yeah, I mean, look at all of that you've got in common. That's where the family's at. I don't have no camaraderie with the world. I don't fit in with that crowd. I don't even try to fit in with that crowd. Amen? Amen? They don't want me around either. It's not one-sided. I don't want you to get the impression that the world's after me and wanting me, but I don't want them. It's mutual. Amen? Because light really messes up darkness. Amen. Oh, yes. At the house of God is where the camaraderie is at. Could I say this as well? At the house is where the children is at. My fellow brothers and sisters at the house of God. That's where I fit. That's where I fit in. The house of God. You're my crowd. You're my crowd, praise God. I want that Bible-toting, Jesus-loving, sin-hating, devil-hating crowd. That's my crowd. I'm not interested in that crowd that's wanting to be worldly, carnal, fleshly, and see as far away from God as they can go and still remain a church member. I want my friend to go and associate with those people that loves Jesus and believes the doctrines of the Word of God. That's where that camaraderie's at. That's where the children's at. That's where the chores is at. That's where the Father's work is being carried out. Why in the world would we want to stay out of our country and stay at the Father's house as a child? It's because that's where the Father's chores is at. Amen. And of course, that may be the reason some people leave or get away from the Father's house. They don't want to do nothing. But no, can I tell you, the real desire of a believer, the real desire of a believer, my friend, is, Father, what would thou have me to do? Amen. The privilege and the joy of the believer is to do something for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. That's where the real care is at. The Father's house is where the real care is at. That crowd out there in the world, in the far country, they may act, listen, they may act like they care about you, but all they really do care about is that you've got a little money they can mooch off of you. You got gas in the tank and a means of transportation to haul their lazy hind ends around. Amen. That's right. I know. I've been there. I've been out there, friend. Long as I had a little money, I had to buy something to smoke or drink or do something or a car to go somewhere in. I had friends. Amen. But when I was broke and busted and couldn't be trusted, you couldn't find them with a C&I dog, amen? Why? They just went to somebody else and got in somebody else's car and wanted somebody else's money. That far country bunch don't love you, and you better hear that well. That far country bunch don't care nothing about you. When you're laying in the ditch of despair with nothing left, you know what they'll do? They'll not pull out a hanky and weep over you. They'll go to plan B. They'll go, who's my next? Who can I have next? You want to know where the real care's at? It's the Father's house. Somebody that you can call up and say, hey, you know what? I've got a problem in my life. I've got a burden going on in my life. Will you help me pray? Brother J.R. called me down there. I was down there this week, and Brother J.R. called me and said, preacher, I've got a job interview. What day was that? You called me the day before the job. No, it was Wednesday. He called me Wednesday. And you know what? He called me and said, preacher, I've got a job interview this evening. So I wish you'd pray for me. I said, I sure will. In fact, I said, I want to do it right now. So we just took time right there on the phone and prayed about it. You know why? Because we care. Amen. You're not going to find care in the world. Even David said, he looked and he said, no man cared for my soul. Somebody that cares for you will tell you the truth. Somebody that cares for you will pray with you. Somebody that cares for you, amen. Amen. They want you to do right and not wrong. It's where the care's at. I like this. Y'all ready? Talking about parallel in the Father's house, Luke 15, the Father's house, the church. It's where the cooking's at. I like to eat, Brother James. Spiritually and physically. Are you listening? Hey, when he was at the Father's house, praise God, 3 square meals a day. When he was at the Father's house, there was something to eat. Amen. But when he went to the far country, a famine, there wasn't nothing to eat. And he laid around in the hog pen thinking, oh, the hogs has got more to eat than I've got. He'd watch them sorry no count hogs, them swine, eating up slop and the husk. And he'd stand there starving to death, licking his lips, saying, when he would have fain filled his belly with the husk. You can interpret that by him saying, oh, Mr. Hoggy, Mr. Piggy, could I have some of your food? I'm perishing with hunger and you're fat and you're feeding and you're flourishing. And then his thoughts went away from the pig. Amen. Went back to the parent. Went back to the Father's house. And he said, you know what? At the Father's house, I never was hungry. At the Father's house, I wasn't hungry. At the Father's house, even the servants had plenty of bread and even some to spare. Hey, there's going to be times coming, all of us, to where we're going to really have to focus on how important the church is. We can't go off of feelings. Are you listening? But it's at the Father's house, Brother Randy, where the cooking is. Amen. Well, I feed. I feed on your fellowship. I feed on the teaching. I feed on your testimonies. I feed on the singing. I feed even on the preaching. Amen. That's where it's at. I know better than to go away from the Father's house to the far country because I know I'd starve, Brother James. See, hunger don't just set in just like that. It's after you missed a meal or two. See, those that first get out of church, those that first get out of the Father's house and head to the far country, man, it looks fine for them for a while. It looked fine for a while. Man, they're down there listening to them laughing. Listen to them, man. They're having a time. Look at their face. They're smiling. Man, look at all their buddies. They're having a time. But God ain't wrote the last chapter yet. They've only missed a day or they've only missed a meal or two. Wait till that far country. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us. Wait till that far country goes from being a visit to being your habitat. About anybody can visit the far country and maybe survive this thing of food and hunger spiritually. But when you stay there day in, day out, week in, week out, and month out, and even maybe year in and year out, my friend, with nothing to eat, guess what? You're going to think how good you had it when you was at the house of God. Yeah. Can I say this as well? That's where the celebration's at. They ain't going to break out no fatted calf and the music down there at the hog pen. They don't be none of that shouting. They're not going to sing, you know, that I was once on my way to hell, but now all is well. You're not going to hear music like that. They're not going to be singing how wonderful it is to be saved. No. Oh, here's where the celebration's at. It's where it's supposed to be. It's where it's supposed to be, at the Father's house. Well, amen. I'll tell you what I want us to do. I want Miss Paul Sue to come on. I was going to do something else, but I believe I'm done for this morning anyway. The Father's house, as a contrast and as a conflict to the far country. You know what's really between us and the far country? The Father's house. Your attitude toward the Father's house could indicate and should indicate to you and your relationship to the Father's house. Your attitude toward the Father's house should be implying whether you're headed to the far country or not. See, this thing's spiritual. If it was mechanical, just like a motor in a car runs the same every day, it'd be different. But this thing is spiritual. You can be up today and not up tomorrow. You can be right with God today and not right with God in 10 minutes from now. I mean, it requires maintenance. And when you see your heart getting cold toward the things of God, when you see your flesh starting to step into the driver's seat and starting to lead you and guide you into fleshly directions, my friend, you better know that there ought to be a white flag go up in your heart. There ought to be a red flag go up in your heart or any other color flag. Amen. Let you know that you're headed in a dangerous direction. Amen. Our church, I told somebody the other day, I said, I don't know how we could stand it at our church if we could get our whole assembly to be going in the same direction for 30 days. Had a preacher ask me the other day, I said, how you doing? How's people everywhere hears about RBT. Through the website, through different things, they hear, amen. And I've been representing this church 17 years, good or bad. They might say, oh yeah, that's RBT, that's where that Brackley preached. I ain't going up there. But there's people everywhere knows about this church. Everywhere. I'm telling you, other countries knows about this church through our missionaries. Amen. A lot of people knows about this church. And they asked me, how you doing? I said, well, preacher, I told somebody this week, I said, if we could get everybody here and just kind of paused, I said, we'd have revival. I said, then, if we could get everybody here to be going in the same direction for 30 days, I said, we'd blow the walls out. I said, but at the way it is, I said, we got some on fire. Then we got some fizzling out. I said, we got some moving forward. We got some going backwards. It kills me. It does. It just kills me. Amen. Because I know how important the Father's house. Now listen, let me give you this right here and I'm going to have Miss Foster play. Don't let the far country be what it takes for you to appreciate the Father's house. He didn't know what he had till he had nothing. Don't wait. Don't wait till you're in a far country and you're on the last leg and you're at the bottom and you're at the end. Don't wait then to realize how good you've got it. Stay at the house of God and believe what people's testimonies say about the far country. Believe what the preacher says about the far country. Believe what the Bible says about the far country. We're not lying to you when we tell you that the far country will wear you out, because the Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. Are you listening? Ask Naomi and Abimelech. Ask them, my friend, Melhon and Chilion. Ask them when they left, my friend, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and they went to Moab. Ask them if it was a good move. They left the house of God. They left the will of God. They went to Moab, the type of the world. Her husband died. Her two sons died. And she came back to the house of God, Bethlehem, atop the house of God. She came back to the house of God and then said, "Is that you? Is that you, Naomi?" She said, "Don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant one, but call me Mara, which means bitter one. For the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me." And here's what she said, and this will be the testimony, my friend, of anybody that leaves the Father's house for the far country. She said, "I went out full, but I came home again empty." She left thinking she was empty because of the famine. She left thinking she was empty, thinking, "Well, if I can just get to Moab, I can be filled." But when she got to the Moab and lived that Moab life and went and buried her husband and two sons, she came back to the house crawling. And you know what her testimony was? I done said it. "I went out full. I thought I was empty when I left, but realized after it's all over, I went out full." Can I give you this? Better be careful. You may get what you want. You may go where you want. But here's the thing you better consider. You may get what you want, but you may lose what you had. Psalms 106, is it? Talking about the children of Israel. The Bible said that they kept on requesting meat, you know, and all that. God was feeding them with manna and everything. And they kept requesting meat because they wanted to be like the everybody else. And you know what the Bible says? They kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on requesting. And God says, He gave them their request, but He sent leanness to their soul. That crowd that murmured and complained, my friend, about the manna and wanted meat, the Bible says that while it was even in their mouth, soon as they got it in their mouth, they were sick of it. You better watch it, friend, thinking, "Man, I this Father's house business, all this church business, and wrapping my life around church and letting church be a priority, letting church be the most important thing in my life. I'm just going to venture out into the far country." Yeah? And while you get a good bite of it in your mouth, that far country, you may get a good bite of it. But while it was in their mouth, while it was yet in their mouth, they hadn't even swallowed it yet. They knew, uh-oh, we made a mistake. We messed up. We got what we wanted, but we lost what we had. Children of Israel, God directed them and led them with God's man. And they kept saying, "We want a king." All these other kingdoms around here, these far country kingdoms, they have a king. "We want a king. Give us a king. We want a king." God led them before that with His servant Moses and Joshua and so forth. God led them that way. But they kept saying, "No, we want to be like the world. We want to have a king like they are. We don't want to be different." Is that not the cry coming from most churches? Don't preach that separation business to us, preacher. We don't want to be separate. We want to be like the world. We want to dress like them. We want to listen to their music. We want to act like they do. We want to be loose like they are. We want to match them. Yeah? Read it. God said, all right. You kept wanting a king. You want to keep being like the far country, heathenistic nation. Go ahead, you want that? All right, I'm giving you a king. Led their hearts away from God, brought in idolatry. They regretted it, friend. You better watch what you want. You might get it. You want out of church? Friend, if you'll notice, those doors back there, they're not locked this morning. Nobody brought you in here on ball chain. We're here this morning because of freedom and liberty. You could be in a far country before this evening if you so choose and want to be. Are you listening? I could give you examples. Listen, where I preach around, I can give you examples, friend. I could give you names of parents that are leading their children away from the house of God into the far country. Miss Shannon, you work in that field. Am I dreaming far-fetched? It's a reality. Parents, my friend, undermining the importance of the house of God. The house of God, listen, the house of God to a lot of people is nothing more than a convenience. A place where you visit. But the house of God, friend, church is not a location. Church is a life. If you want out, I'm just going to say it to me and us and all of us. If you want out, we can get out. There's nothing keeping you today, my friend, from going out and being an absolute heathen. There's parents, my friend, pulling their children away. And that's why that when they get up and they're adults and they've got their own families and jobs, that they don't go to church. I heard a statistic the other day. If I knew I was going to use it this morning, I would have brought it, the exact figures on it. But I couldn't believe the high percentage of young people today that's raised in our churches, raised up in our churches, when they get of age and get their own job and get married and get on their own, they never go to church. They get out of church. Are you listening? Parents, we better not lead our children to the far country. We better not promote it at the house. We better not promote it at the house. We better make it look as bad as we can. We better make it look as ugly as we can. Don't pet on that snake knowing that snake could bite your child. Better tell that child, stay away from that snake. That snake's got poison. That snake will kill you. Don't make a pet out of what will kill your children. I wasn't aiming to deal with all this. I was done, I thought, when I had Miss Paul Sue come up here. Amen. Are you listening to me? I could give you names. I could give you names. I'll just leave it at that. Just like I could give you names of parents leading children astray. I could give you examples where husband and wives are leading each other astray, putting a pressure on each other. I was talking to Brother Dale Maskmill yesterday, and we were talking about young people. We were talking about young people getting married and, you know, even before they get married, they start a romance and liking another boy or girl, you know. And you know what he told me? And I mean, he's probably got one of the most powerful youth groups of any church I know of in America, that I know of. You know what he said? He said, here's what I've seen, preacher. He said, when a boy and a girl starts liking each other and they start getting interested in each other, he said, I cannot tell you of one that maintains a walk with God. He said, I can't tell you of one. He said, when romance gets into the picture, it takes effort to stay spiritual. If you're not careful, that romance will become your God and it'll become all you think about. It's all you talk about. And my friend, I'll tell you what, it can be a legitimate romance. But it'll take you to the far country. Are you listening? I've had husbands and I've had wives over the years tell me, preacher, my mate don't have a heart for God. I've had them to tell me, preacher, before we got married, we went to church, but when we got married, they wouldn't go to church. You better watch it, friend. When you say I do to somebody and that means you're going to live with them the rest of your life, you better know that person. And Brother Jacob don't mind me using him as an illustration. If he was here, I probably wouldn't because of just bringing back up the memories. Best I can remember, he only dated her 3 months. Read my lips, friend. I don't care if they got angel's wings. You cannot know a person in 3 months. You say, but preacher, they say amen. Raise their hand and sing and shout. I don't care. I don't care what they do. If it's short term, anybody can do it about short term. A few weeks, a few months. You better, my friend, watch them with a microscope for a good long period of time. A very famous preacher. Preached a camp meeting this week. His daughter married an individual. Thought, preacher's son. Thought, man, I know him. I know him. Went to the altar and said, I do. And has regretted it. Found out that he's hooked on pornography. Been paying, what was it, $1,500 for a prostitute? Oh, she thought she knew him. You young people, I preach to you a lot, and I say a lot along the way, different places, different times. Sorry about that, says having you up there, but we're just going to have to hang on here. I'm not done. God's not done. You think that we're just terrible preaching about all this? Hey, I'm going to tell you, friend. I had a 20-year-old girl Friday night tell me, preacher, there ain't no kid, no young boys for me. Preacher's daughter, 20 years old. She said, you know what? She said, the Lord dealt with me tonight about just waiting on God and let Him send me one. She said, because I've been going out looking for one. And I called her name and I told her, I said, you listen, I said, it's better to want one and not have one as to have one and not want them. And besides, what are you doing as a 20-year-old? In fact, she's just fixing to turn 20. What are you doing as a 20-year-old thinking you're going to be an old maid anyhow? You ought to be focusing on your spirituality and getting right with God, full of the Spirit of God. Amen. And maturing out and becoming a mature adult. Learn how to cook, for crying out loud. That's right. A lot of young girls, they couldn't fry water. That's the truth. Amen. So, well, I don't care. He don't care. I don't care. We'll just go to the Golden Arches and eat till we're sick. That won't be but about 2 meals. That's the truth. I'm still preaching, amen. I'm talking about you better, listen, you better watch that crowd. Listen, the devil's after you. You young girls and boys, the devil's after you. He'll put somebody in your life. I don't care if it's raising a preacher's home, a deacon's home, raising church. The devil can mastermind and put somebody in your life to ruin you. There's that girl raised. I'm talking about godly, pure and holy home. Married that boy thinking he was one thing, but after she got him, found out he was another. And they're split up all, they're done, I think they're done divorced or getting it. His parents knew it, but kept it covered up. And now that it's out, he's still playing and participating at the house of God. God help us. I'm going to tell you, friend. People drive by and they wonder, what in the world are we doing at the house, at church and at 12:48? Just go ahead and tell them. Don't blame it on nobody but the preacher. Just go ahead and tell them. We got a preacher that's trying to stand between some people in a far country. We're trying to magnify how important the house of God is. Listen, here's the truth. Stay in the Father's house and you'll never wind up in the far country. Let's all stand to our feet.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.